Turn now, friends, this morning for our meditation to the passage that we read, and in verse 37 of chapter 18 we read, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. The word that Jesus uses here when he says, bear witness unto the truth, martyrizos, is the root from which we have the word martyr. Martyr. And as we know, the word martyr has come to mean a servant of the Lord who seals his testimony with his blood. And I believe we can take that meaning from the word here. Jesus is saying, I am going to seal my testimony with my blood. I'm here in this world to bear witness, and that requires that I witness with my death. It was a necessity. But you say, he came into this world for something else. Did he not come to save sinners? Isn't that why he came? Did he not come, as he said, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly? Didn't he come to fulfill the law and do his Father's will? Didn't he say that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to open the prison doors? Isn't that why he came? So why does he now say something different? He says, this is the reason that I should bear witness unto the truth. Well, friends, I think we have to realize that in essence summarizes all these things. They were all intended to accomplish this testimony to the truth. In a world which had lost the truth, as our world has today, to a race that had been blinded and deceived and in darkness, he had to bring the light of truth. He is the light of the world, and that required that he should bear witness, that his whole life and his death should be a declaration, a broadcasting of the truth of God. That is what you need. You cannot be saved apart from the truth. It's the truth that saves. It's he who is the truth that does all these other things for us. And so we have to concentrate on that and on this divine martyr. When Patrick Hamilton knew that he was sorry, when George Wishart knew that he was going to his death, John Knox, his assistant, said, "I'll go with you." But that night, George Wishart said to his friend, "One is enough for a sacrifice." And he went out that day to be captured and to be burnt outside St. Andrew's Castle and bear witness to the end. But, of course, in a much greater sense, we have to realise that one was sufficient for a sacrifice for us. He was able to do, and he did do, everything that was required to fulfil the Father's will and to redeem his people. And so today we want to spell out for a short time that we might appreciate our Saviour more and a fellowship in his body and blood. We will listen to the truth. As you know, our Reformed doctrine tells us that the sacrament is of no benefit apart from the truth that accompanies it, so that we may intelligently partake, we may do it with understanding, with the mind and heart engaged, and then there are blessings, rich blessings, for us. So he said, "Everyone that is of the truth." And that's where you come in, isn't it? He qualifies those who will benefit and who can hear him. Everyone that is of the truth. Are you of the truth? If you are, then you hear his voice. You hear when others are deaf. You hear when others hear nothing. You hear not the voice of the preacher, but you hear the voice of the true and faithful witness of Christ himself. And what is this voice that you will hear? Well, from the context you can see, it is the voice of a king. It's the voice of a ruler who has command over his people, who are his servants, who are at his bidding and are living a life of constant obedience, seeking to do the king's business and the master's will. But what of this king? How does he bear witness? Well, the three things that arise from the subsequent events. We hear the voice of the king as a king condemned. Here is the vivid, or perhaps I can say the shrill voice which you hear. You hear the testimony of a king condemned. We know that in our history there was a king condemned. King Charles II was found to have betrayed his people. And Oliver Cromwell and others signed his death warrant because they felt he had forfeited his kingship, his royal prerogative and his royal throne. And he paid the price with his life. But not so this king, and yet he was condemned. He told his disciples that this was what was going to happen. For instance, in Matthew 20, verse 18, we read there, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. What voice do you hear from these words? To bear witness to the truth, he had to be condemned. He had to be condemned falsely to expose the false religion of those who held the office and authority in the church of that time. And Peter at the Pentecost said, "You have condemned the holy and the just one." And they were pricked in their hearts. And friends, we can put ourselves in that category, where we have not yielded proper and due and loving obedience to the King. We are guilty of rejecting him and of condemning him. And he took that condemnation, and he testifies to the truth that we are rebels by nature and will not have this man to rule over us. That's what our sinful nature says, and it continually resists the claims and the call of Christ. And that's what we're up against, that fallen nature which will not have him to rule. And so he bears witness by his condemnation to our sin and our corruption. The voice of the King is in his crowning. What glorious days they are when the King is crowned. I remember watching the coronation of our Queen just when television began, and a neighbour called us in to see it, and my father was one of those in Westminster Abbey to shout out with the others, "Long live the Queen!" It was a glorious beginning to her reign. But there was no shout of here of acclamation. Rather, we read in chapter 19 at the beginning, "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." What kind of coronation was that? But friends, this is why he bore witness to the truth. The truth that this is what man in his sin has done. He has mocked the Lord. He has mocked the King of Kings. And let us come in penitence today, and not with false prayers or hypocritical worship like these soldiers. For every time our worship is insincere, every time our praise is careless, we are mocking the King. Did we truly from the heart sing, "O Lord, thou art my God and King"? Was it from a heart submitted, surrendered, obedient to the King? He was crowned with thorns. He was a King crucified. And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your King?" Chief priest said, "We have no king but Caesar." Oh, you say, "I would never have done that. I would never have done that." But of course, you and I know from our learning that even today we have to admit, my sins cost him the cross. He was there hanging on that cross because of my guilty, sinful conduct, my actions and my words and my thoughts and my ways have cost my King his cross. And as he carried that cross, he was carrying your sins on his body to the tree. That's the testimony. That's the witness. That's the truth that we cannot avoid, but that he wants us to hear. Those that are of the truth, hear my voice. Am I telling the truth? The voice of the King. And then we're told, of course, that he came to fulfill the law. And yet, what did they say about him? They said, according to our law, he is guilty of death because he made himself to be the Son of God. Of course, that is a capital offense. He is worthy of death, but had he in fact done that? That's the crucial thing which they and Pilate failed to recognize. They failed to recognize that they had in their hands and by his permission, in their power, the very God-man, God in the flesh, was there before them, and they could not recognize him, and so they became violators of the law. The law, of course, said, Exodus 2 and 20 and 3, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. And these high priests and scribes said, look at him. He's saying that God is his father. He's making himself equal with God. Did he make himself? No, you know as well as I do from John's Gospel. Listen to, again to these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that commandment that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, does not include the one who was before him. When it says the Word was with God, that Greek word, pros, means towards God. The Word was towards God, face to face with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, none other except those three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was no violation of the law, for it was God who was with God. It was the Son who was with the Father. That's the witness he was making. So much so that he says in this text, to this end was I born, his humanity. And for this cause came I into the world, his divinity, that I should bear witness to the truth. So here he is, Son of Mary, Son of the Father, bearing witness to who he is. There is no law violated. And then there is a law magnified. Here again he was bearing witness to the truth. As you know, it says in Isaiah 42 and 21, he magnified the law and made it honorable. A law that had been trampled over, despised, and by the Pharisees had been traduced and misused. It was magnified. by the humiliation and suffering, the martyrdom of Christ, because he fulfilled the demands of a holy law. Every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, as the Catechism says. Every sin is a transgression of the law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so, with his blood, he's bearing witness and magnifying the perfection of the law as it executes its just judgment on the sinner, for he was made sin for us. That's the truth, friends. And he witnessed it. It was an imprinted law. What was he doing here in his sufferings and death? What was he doing for you, friend, as you sit here this morning? He was preparing the way for that law which you have transgressed and broken to be printed on your regenerate soul and heart. His testimony by his death was so powerful that it is printed. As your heart is changed and transformed by a yielding to the gospel and to an acceptance of his work for you, you are enabled to fulfill that law because it becomes your heart's desire, and you're able to say, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my study all the day." And so I think it's in Jeremiah 31 and 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make," and he was making it on his cross, "with the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Is this what has been accomplished? Is this what you are bearing witness to today as you come to this table? Ah, the Lord has changed my heart. He's given me a love for what I hated, because I visited that cross, and thus he heard that testimony of the blessed Lamb of God when he says, "He that is of the truth heareth my voice." And friends, he is bearing witness, perhaps in a third place, if we have time, he is the voice of grace. We read that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, the witness to his grace and the means of his grace is by his truth, by his testimony. And so he says, "For this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to grace." Yes, he binds up the brokenhearted. Remember when John's servants came to him and asked him, "Art thou he that should come?" And he says, "Yes, I have come." And how did he explain that coming? By bearing witness to the truth. And here is the truth, as we find it in Luke chapter 7. "Go ye your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." Which of these has borne witness in your soul, friend. Which one of these is bringing you forward today? Is it that you were blind and you say, now I see what I didn't see? Is it that you now walk? You were crippled, you couldn't move one step on the path to heaven and in the path of faith, but now, though your steps may seem humbling, you have been learnt to walk. The lepers are cleansed. Oh, you feel the pollution of that leprosy of sin, but you've experienced the cleansing blood of the Son of God, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Oh, the cleansing. You're one of the deaf that many a time paid no attention, but now your greatest attention and interest is just to hear the voice of the Son of Man. The brokenhearted, the blind, the prisoners, friends. For to this end came I into the world. To this end was I born, that I should bear witness unto that truth. Is that a witness that you are hearing today? Can you indeed say, I am one of those who are of the truth? I have life by the truth. I have peace by the truth. I have Christ by the truth.